The Situation Update with Mike Adams.
All right, welcome to this information-packed episode of the Situation Update podcast. I'm Mike Adams, and it's Wednesday, November 16th, 2022. And yes, my voice is mostly recovered, so thank you for your patience. And my guest today is Ed Dowd. And I completed that interview with Ed many hours ago, and it was a bombshell interview. I think this episode here and that interview together, it's going to be the best podcast we've put together here in quite some time, just in terms of the information density, because there's so much going on. So let me give you the five things that we're going to talk about here tonight with some other news kind of sprinkled in. Number one, Congress, the Republicans have taken the House. Major implications for that. We'll go over that. Secondly, Trump has announced officially his bid for the presidency in 2024, of course. So we'll analyze what Trump is saying, what he's promising, why he's running, what about DeSantis, and all those questions. Number three, Governor Abbott of Texas has declared that Texas is under an invasion. I forgot the exact verbiage of this. We're going to go through it, though. And he has, Governor Abbott has initiated all kinds of things to stop the invasion of Texas, including activating Texas gunboats. Yeah, like actual gunboats, I guess, in the Gulf of Mexico. I mean, we'll dig into that tonight and see what's going on. Number four, a missile strike in Poland, which was initially blamed on Russia. Now looks like it was kind of a dud. I mean, not that it didn't explode, but I mean, politically it was a dud. Turns out it's not Russia, it's something else. And fortunately that has not escalated yet. Number five is the continued crypto contagion, because now BlockFi looks like it's filing for bankruptcy, and another crypto exchange has just announced a freeze on withdrawals. So this is more fallout from the FTX collapse, and it's going to continue. So those are five big things that we're going to cover here tonight, plus a few other things, and then also the interview with Ed Dowd that you do not want to miss. And just a quick programming note, normally when I interview somebody, I will do the audio-only version of that interview here in the podcast. And sometimes we shorten it for the podcast. But then I also post the interview separately, the full interview separately, full length and everything. And in this case, with Ed Dowd, I was actually on camera too, which often I'm not. But because we recorded this in the early afternoon, I was doing a bunch of shows. I was doing different videos and appearances and so on. So I was able to schedule it there. So I'm on camera and Ed is on camera and it's the full length, and that's going to be posted separately. It's about 50 minutes in duration. That's 50. And you're definitely going to want to check that out. There's a lot of very valuable information in there about how to navigate what's coming. Also, just a little teaser here. Jeffrey Prather and I are planning on doing something really fun and even kind of funny on video pretty soon. I'll just leave it at that. I'm not going to tell you what it is, but I have it planned out, and Jeffrey says he's on board. So hopefully we're going to get that going. But I do want to, the reason I mention this is because if anybody listening, if you are an animator, like a South Park style animator, or if you know somebody who is, and you want to be part of this really fun, hilarious project involving myself and Jeffrey Prather, and you know, you can do some animation like that, contact us, you know, send us a link to your portfolio, because we need your help on this one. It's going to be fun. You can email us at situationupdate@protonmail.com. Again, looking for an animator, like a South Park style animator, because wait till you, you're going to be laughing your socks off on this one. And then yes, if you watched the interview yesterday, it is true that I'm working on a song concept right now. And the Resistance Chicks have agreed to sing with me in this song. Of course, we got to come up with a song. But I have an idea that's already come in today, and it should be pretty darn funny. So now I'm going through some music libraries to try to find the right tracks for that. Who knows? I mean, any of these projects could be, you know, backburnered if World War III begins, you know, we're not going to be doing that stuff. But if we get a chance, we're going to bring you some uplifting, you know, bring a smile to your face, because we have to laugh a little bit through the apocalypse here. You can't just be down and gloomy all the time. You know, we got to crack a few jokes here and there, because there is a lot to laugh at, believe it or not. All right, so let's jump into these five big news items here. Number one, Congress. So it is official, well, according to mainstream media sources, that the Republicans have taken control of the House of Representatives. All right, so they get sworn in, what is it, January 10th or something, right around there? Which, of course, means that between now and then, roughly 2 months away, the existing Congress can still do a lot of damage. And they are. They're busy doing damage right now. But the Republicans are going to take over Congress in January. Now, the challenge with the Republican Party right now is that there is a civil war inside the Republican Party. I thought there was going to be a bigger civil war inside the Democrat Party after the election. You know, it turns out it's a much bigger civil war in the Republican Party. And the war is between the Trumpians and the anti-Trumpers, basically, which are the rhinos, okay? So it's the Trumpians versus the rhinos. That's pretty much what's going on. And there's a huge effort right now to kick the Trumpians, you know, out of everything. And I've got some inside information on this, too, that involves the people surrounding DeSantis. It looks like the people around DeSantis are pretty much all Trump haters or anti-Trumpers. There's quite a war brewing between Trump and DeSantis. We're going to get to that, you know, when we talk about Trump's announcement here. But the same is true in Congress. So the question of what gets done in Congress, like, are there going to be investigations? Are they going to have Nuremberg 2.0 trials? Are they going to look at election rigging or big tech censorship or vaccine mandates, biological weapons? You know, all these issues that really matter. That depends on who's running the committees in the House of Representatives. And that depends on whether it's rhinos or Trumpians. So obviously, if the Trumpians are in charge, then we're going to get a lot of investigations. If the rhinos are in charge, we're going to get nada, zilch. And looks like right now, the rhinos still have a lot of power. You know, they want to lose. And by the way, it looks like Dirty Mitch McConnell was on the take from FTX, the crypto exchange that collapsed. His group got $2.5 million from FTX for his Senate Leadership Fund, as it's called. And it was shortly after that $2.5 million, which obviously is a bribe, that went to his group. Then Mitch McConnell pulled funding out of the Blake Masters race in Arizona. That's right, to make sure that Blake Masters would lose. So Mitch McConnell is a traitor. Mitch McConnell is an anti-Trump rhino, but worse than that, he's a traitor. I mean, through his marriage and so on, he's got ties into communist China, okay? So Mitch McConnell was paid off by FTX, and McConnell he's a deep state traitor to America. And he helped engineer the defeat of Republicans so that Mitch McConnell could continue to play the role of the minority Senate leader gatekeeper. Now, you know why he wants to play that role? Because of the existence of the filibuster, my friends. Because of the filibuster, nothing can pass through Congress without the support of, well, roughly at least 10 GOP senators. I guess now it's going to be just 9. But even if it's just 9, that's going to require the approval of Mitch McConnell, the Senate minority leader. So McConnell gets to run around and demand things to get paid off to approve anything getting passed because of the existence of the filibuster, okay? So he doesn't want to be the majority leader because Mitch McConnell is, well, in my opinion, he's just a globalist. He doesn't want America to do well or the American people to do well or liberty to, you know, to achieve new milestones or anything. He doesn't care about the people. He just cares about his own bankroll. So that's why he organized all that. So right now, getting back to the House of Representatives, Representative Steve Scalise is the House Majority Leader. That's not Speaker of the House, just to be clear. He's just been elected the House Majority Leader. And I respect Steve Scalise in a lot of ways. And remember, he was shot and almost killed by that crazed leftist at that baseball game or softball game a few years back. And they almost murdered Rand Paul, his crazy leftist with a gun. Yeah, Steve Scalise is lucky to be alive, frankly. And he's the House Majority Leader. And I think he understands what's at stake here. Well, my understanding from today is that Kevin McCarthy has won the GOP nomination for House Speaker, but that it is not officially voted on until the new Congress is sworn in January. At least that's my understanding of how this works. So Andy Biggs is trying to make a run at Kevin McCarthy, whereas Kevin McCarthy got, you know, the GOP vote, at least so far, for the nomination. And Kevin McCarthy is known as someone, at least this is my understanding of his reputation, that he's more of a rhino than not. But I guess we'll have to wait and see. Anyway, he could be Speaker of the House. Doesn't look like it's going to be Trump. Trump has just, you know, announced his run for the presidency, and it doesn't look like it's going to be Andy Biggs. So again, this is really key. We're going to find out whether the next 2 years will be productive, with where the GOP could use their power to do something useful, you know, for God's sake, like shaking them by the hair and the toupees, you know. That's right. Did you hear that? Just like shaking them by their toupees. Please, for God's sake, do something, you know. Or are they going to sit back and just go, you know, business as usual? Let's reach across the aisle and get along with the other side that just screwed us out of elections again. They just stole elections. So is Kevin McCarthy another Paul Ryan? There's a question. And it seems like the answer may be yes. But we'll wait and see. We'll wait and find out. But here's what I say. No matter what happens with the leadership of the GOP at this point, it's up to you and I and all of us to call our members of Congress, you know, in January, once this begins, or even maybe before, call the offices of the new members, the incoming Congress here, incoming House. And I want you to politely but firmly demand investigations into election rigging, you know, the vote fiasco, especially in Arizona and other places, the ballot harvesting, the mail-in ballots, all that garbage, censorship, collusion between the government and big tech to achieve censorship, the vaccine mandates and the corruption of the CDC, the FDA, SARS-CoV-2, the biological weapons, depopulation, the whole deal, excess deaths, which, again, we're going to talk about here in a second. And also, by the way, the rigging of the 2020 election, the corruption of the Biden crime family, who have been blackmailed by the CCP, the national security issue of the wide open southern border of the United States of America, and so much more. How about money laundering through Ukraine to have money funneled back into Democrats' pockets for bribery and payoffs and so on? Oh, and by the way, there's another, here it is. Joe Biden just announced, I think, another $37 billion in emergency funding for Ukraine. Just requested. Again, $37 billion. Why? Oh, just because it's another week. You know, it's Wednesday. It's another week. Another $37 billion. Folks, this is beyond insane. That's twice the amount of money needed to build the entire southern wall of, you know, a U.S. border wall that would keep out most illegals and human traffickers and fentanyl trafficking and everything. It's twice that. And we're sending it to Ukraine on top of, what have we already sent to Ukraine? Like $50, $60, $100 billion? Something, and nobody really knows because it all just vanishes. But now Biden wants to send another $37 billion. Do you realize that we seem to be sending to Ukraine something like $20 to $40 billion a month? I mean, at the recent pace, it's beyond insane. Ukraine doesn't need that much money to fund their entire government, by the way, and their war effort. Where is all this money going? Well, obviously, this is the last desperate looting of the U.S. Treasury and the U.S. dollar and so on. We'll talk about that later. All right, so that's where we stand. Again, be sure to call your incoming members of Congress and press them to launch investigations into these issues. And we're going to have to do our best to get rhinos out of the running in all of this and bring in, you know, America First candidates. Okay, now the Senate, of course, was stolen because the election was rigged against Blake Masters and against Dr. Oz and other candidates, you know, Laxalt in Nevada, if that's how you pronounce his name. The Senate was stolen. That's going to allow the Democrats to put in all these radical left-wing social justice judges in, you know, federal courts all across the country for the next several years, okay? So that's how they're going to abuse that. That's why they had to rig that election. They were trying to steal the House, too. They really were trying to steal the House. And, of course, they've stolen it from Carrie Lake in Arizona. We talked about that yesterday. Carrie is going to fight this, by the way, it looks like. So expect lawsuits. And, of course, you have to sue because Katie Hobbs was the elections secretary who ran the elections. At the same time, she's running for governor. And who obviously oversaw the selective failure of voting machines and ballot scanning in certain areas that favored her own, quote, victory into the governorship. So, of course, I mean, it's just straight up corruption and cheating. You have to challenge that. And Carrie Lake, she is going to challenge that. Although, as I've been told by certain sources, some of the people around her are, I'm just going to go ahead and say it. Some of them are lazy drunks. And they have an alcohol problem, partying and drinking alcohol instead of fighting for a fair and free election. I'm sure Carrie Lake is very frustrated about that. She's probably screaming at him, get off the bottle, you morons, get off your asses and start fighting for this state. Arizona deserves better than you drunk on the floor, you know, passed out, vomiting up the last pint of vodka you downed or whatever that was. Get on your feet, sober up, get in the fight, you know. I can just see Carrie Lake like a drill sergeant, you know, walking up and down the hallway with all the workers, you know, all the campaign workers, you know, slapping them around a little bit. whoops, whoops, wake up, get on your feet, back in the fight, soldier, just shoving them against the wall, you know, go, Carrie, go. Yeah, we need a woman like that. We do. She should be making a run for the presidency, actually, as far as I'm concerned. Maybe she'll show up on Trump's ticket or DeSantis's ticket or somebody's ticket. Who knows? That's just a wild guess. I don't have any intel on that, but we'll see. Yeah, and I admit, it is kind of a fantasy of mine to see Carrie Lake busting some balls in the GOP, like whoopsh, like hitting them with a sock with a bar of soap in it, just like wind that sucker up, whack, right in the crotch of some of those rhinos. Yeah, wake up now, sucker. Get in the fight or get out of here, right? That's what she needs to do. I know that's probably a little graphic, but why not? It's going to take something. Wake these people up. All right, so let's talk about Trump. So Trump made his big announcement, and Trump said basically he's running for president. It's official, and he's filed the paperwork. Okay. And then he gave a pretty awesome speech. I listened to a lot of it, not all of it, but he was saying all the right things. He was talking about how you got to get transgenderism out of the schools. You know, you got to get biological men off of women's sports teams. And he was also talking about ending all the vaccine mandates and the mask mandates and everything, and reinstating everybody in the military who was fired with full back pay for all the time that they were gone, by the way. And a lot of other important things. He even talked about total voting reform, making it just one day. The election is one day. You show up in person and it's paper ballots and it's voter ID nationwide. Boom. Okay. So that's great to hear. Problem is that the president of the United States doesn't control elections nationwide. The elections are, of course, run and determined by local laws, which vary state by state, as we have seen. That's why the Democrat-run states are always doing mail-in ballots so they can keep rigging everything. So you can't really have Washington, D.C. tell every state how to run their elections. So some of what Trump was saying was kind of like when you're in high school, And your friend in high school is running for class president, and they promise that we're going to have chocolate milk in all the cafeterias, you know, and it's like that's not even allowed by the school district. There's not going to be chocolate milk in here. But they would promise it anyway, you know, because it sounded good. Oh, chocolate milk, yeah, and French fries, you know, whatever. So Trump's making a lot of promises right now that will never pan out, by the way. But he's saying a lot of the right things. At least things that people want to hear, things that people are really frustrated about, or maybe even, you know, their heads are exploding over some of these crazy things like the pedophilia and the grooming of children in public schools, things like that. So Trump has made his announcement. Now, I do want to mention, some people were telling me that there was going to be some way bigger announcement, like this is the day that's going to be the mass arrest, you know, they're going to take everybody to Gitmo, and they're going to swap them out with, you know, body doubles or whatever. Like, okay, let's just just cool your jets there. Let's just see what Trump says. No, it was just Trump running for election. This was not some big, like, the military's going to sweep in and take control. No, it didn't have emergency broadcasts. No, it's just Trump. Just Trump making an announcement that we all knew he was going to make. So really not a big surprise, right? But let me share something with you. I am not going to jump into either the Trump camp nor the DeSantis camp for a long, 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 long time, maybe never. I'm going to step back and just watch these two characters and see where they go with this. But more importantly, I'm going to look at the people around them. Because as far as I'm concerned, you know, Trump, you already had your opportunity, Trump, right? You were already there in the White House. And you basically promised that on January 6th, like, something big was going to happen. Everybody show up. This is going to make history. And then nothing happened except a giant deep state trap. Remember that? Well, of course, everybody remembers J6. And then what about Operation Warp Speed and the vaccine pushing and all that stuff? I mean, Trump still hasn't addressed that. And Trump had this horrible habit of surrounding himself with the worst traitors. I mean, starting with Mike Pence. Can you think of a more sorry sack of pathetic garbage than Mike Pence? You know, when it comes to America, Mike Pence had the opportunity to save this country, but he wanted to be popular instead. He wanted to be polite. And so he threw America under the bus, and he's just, what a piece of garbage, right? Well, Trump has a knack of just inviting people into his Oval Office who are traitors and backstabbers and so on. And one of my questions right off the bat is, well, how is that going to be any different this time? No, seriously, that's my question. So I am withholding any kind of judgment or endorsement of any kind. I'm not jumping in on the Trump train here. I'm going to wait and see where this thing goes. Now, at the same time, I'm not jumping on the DeSantis train either, because I want to see who ends up in the DeSantis camp. Because if it's a bunch of rhinos surrounding him, which is kind of where it looks like it's going, then I'm not going to support DeSantis. No way. I mean, DeSantis has done some great stuff as governor of Florida, and he's still doing great things. And make no mistake, he's very courageous. He knows how to handle the media. He knows how to navigate politics and so on. But it seems like his direction is really moving strongly in the anti-Trump category, which turns out to be basically the pro-rhino category. And I don't want another rhino in the White House. We've already had that with the Bushes, you know. We've been there. We've seen what happens with rhinos in the White House, you know, red rhinos. It's pretty much the same result as having Obama in the White House, which is what we have now through a proxy zombie named Joe Biden, right? So I'm going to step back and watch this thing, okay, for quite a long time. You're not going to hear me endorse Trump or DeSantis or anybody else. I want to see. And frankly, maybe it's just because, probably a lot like you, I'm super skeptical now of anything. I don't care what they say. I don't care. I mean, Trump can say all the nice sounding things in the world. Does it mean he's going to do those things? Not necessarily. What about DeSantis? He could say awesome things too. Now, and he's got a lot done in Florida, no doubt about that. But can he get them done in Washington, D.C.? Who knows, right? Who knows? I'm just very skeptical. In fact, and maybe this is part of just maturity or wisdom, like learning lessons the hard way, I don't think the answer for America comes from political solutions, which is something that the resistance chicks mentioned yesterday in our interview. Said, look, this is going to be a spiritual solution. This isn't about the parties, whether it's Republicans or Democrats or rhinos or Trumpians or whoever. The system is broken, man. The system is totally corrupt. The elections are rigged. The money supply is broken. You know, the infrastructure is failing. The culture is falling apart. There's animosity and fake news and censorship, all of this stuff. I don't think that you can just work through these problems with voting and calling your representatives and signing petitions. No. I mean, in Oregon, they just passed a law that basically criminalizes the Second Amendment. Did you know that? They're trying to ban the Second Amendment in Oregon. Of course, that's going to be challenged by all kinds of Second Amendment foundations and such, nonprofits. But they did. They just passed a ballot measure that said you basically have no right to have firearms and ammunition, you know, without permission, which violates recent Supreme Court decisions. It's just crazy. So I don't think we can vote our way out of this. I think, well, there's really two ways that this gets resolved. Like, one way is the God intervention method. And I don't know what that looks like, obviously, but think Old Testament, you know, plagues upon you and whatever else. The seas are parting and nations are falling and planets and giant fireballs and mountains on fire falling out of the heavens and things like that, right? So that's one possible way that things change. The other way is an economic collapse, which is imminent. And I talked to Ed Dowd about some of that in the interview coming up here. But an economic collapse would cause, obviously, the fall, the bankruptcy of the United States of America. Well, it's occupying illegitimate government anyway. Because if they can't keep paying people, like Joe Biden just, you know, saying, oh, $37 billion more for Ukraine, in quotes. Yeah, it's for Ukraine, really. No, but it's just bribes and kickbacks and money laundering. Well, if they can't keep printing money to do that, their power vanishes. It's over for them. So a global currency collapse, or even just a dollar collapse, is something that would bring this whole system down and force, you know, a re-emergence probably of state sovereignty, and could result in what I call the balkanization of the United States, you know, regional breakups or new nation states forming, secession, possibly regional civil war, things like that. One way or another, though, this current system ends because it is entirely unsustainable. That's for sure. All right, now let's move on to issue number three, Texas. Greg Abbott, he tweeted this out a few hours ago. Quote, I invoke the invasion clauses of the U.S. and Texas constitutions to fully authorize Texas to take unprecedented measures to defend our state against an invasion. This is awesome. This is the best thing I've read in a long time. I'm using that constitutional authority and other authorization and executive orders to keep our state and country safe. Here's what he's doing. Okay. It's from Greg Abbott, right? Who just beat Beto. Beto. How about beat it? Beat it. Just beat it, right? He's going to deploy the National Guard to safeguard our border and to repel and turn back immigrants trying to cross the border illegally. Okay. Now, I read that bullet point. That's the first one from Greg Abbott. And I think to myself, didn't he say this a year ago? I'm pretty sure he said the same thing a year ago, that he was going to deploy the National Guard. So maybe now he's like, I'm really going to deploy the National Guard. We'll see. or maybe it's just a bigger deployment. Maybe there were a few guard units and now there's going to be a whole lot more. Okay, so we welcome that. That's awesome. Good job, Abbott. He's going to deploy the Texas Department of Public Safety to arrest and return to the border immigrants who crossed illegally, and then he's going to deploy DPS to arrest illegal immigrants for criminal activity. All right, so now, again, I think this is pretty awesome, but it is going to be funny to see how this works because, you know, they just walk right across the border. So if you catch them somewhere in Texas, these illegals, and then you take them back to the border, you just plop them like 1 foot over the border. They're like, oh, thank you, and they just take one step. I'm back in Texas now. And they just cross the border again. But all you can do legally is just take them and move them 1 foot back. Oh, now you're back in Mexico. What are you going to do now, sucker? And they're like, I'm going to take another step. And boom, I'm back in Texas. See? So I don't know how you... what? I mean, eventually, don't you have to build a wall? I mean, don't you have to do something more? Well, okay. Abbott is talking about that. But you can't just keep taking them back across the border. I think... No, I'm not even going to say it. But you got to have like a three strike system of some kind where you get caught three times. It's like, okay, now you're going to face something different than just being plopped back across the border. You know, three strikes and you're out. And I don't know what that should be, but it needs to be something that gets the attention of illegals to say, hey, maybe don't cross into Texas, whatever that thing is. And I'm thinking, although I know there are laws against torture, but what if you made them sit down and watch The View every day for a year in a room with a TV in it, huh? You just have to listen to Joy Behar. Yeah. You have to listen to Behar scream every day for a year. They're like, they'd be screaming, no, take me back to Mexico. I cannot stand it. A crazy gringo woman. Okay. And by the way, you know what? I should clarify. Let me pull a Dave Chappelle right here. I welcome legal immigrants into this country and into the state of Texas, by the way.
J&M Jewelry provides online jewelry appraisals that are convenient, secure, and affordable. Appraisals are usually completed within 48 hours and sent directly to your email. Contact us today or visit our website to use our appraisal request form. J&MJewelry.com.
This was made possible by Brighteon.com. After being deplatformed by YouTube, I built Brighteon.com so that we can speak. All voices of dissent are welcome. Join Brighteon.com now. Post your videos today and start building an audience there where you will not be censored. Brighteon.com.
DeKalle Key easily converts your AR rifle to bolt action, allowing you to keep the rifle you love in assault weapon jurisdictions. DeKalle Key is a true fast drop-in solution. No permanent changes to your rifle. Import, transport, own, and have fun with your AR. Why DeKalle Key? Because a bolt action is not an assault weapon. Stay future ready from gun bans with DeKalle Key. DeKalle Key also lets you quickly and easily build your ideal hunting rifle, lets you build the quietest suppressed rifle, and benefits your long-range precision shooting. Available now at DeKalleKey.com with free shipping.
The world we once knew is collapsing. We're being warned to expect rolling blackouts, and our political leaders are deliberately shutting down pipelines, fuel refineries, nuclear power plants, and energy exploration. The currency is collapsing, while financial assets are plummeting in value, and the global food supply is being deliberately decimated. To survive this war being waged on humanity, you need more than just regular prepping. You need resilient prepping. And that's the title of my new free audiobook, Resilient Prepping. You can download the entire audiobook and a printable PDF transcript for free right now at resilientprepping.com. Resilient Prepping teaches practical strategies for prepping in three layers: high-tech, low-tech, and no-tech. Resilient Prepping is your ultimate guide to surviving the total collapse of the world as we know it, because that's exactly what globalists are trying to achieve. Download this entire audiobook for free right now at resilientprepping.com. Nearly all the vitamin C sold at retail today comes from China, and it's made from genetically modified corn. Even though vitamin C is a critical part of immune support, it's also critical to know where your vitamin C comes from. I'm Mike Adams, the founder of Brighteon and BrighteonStore.com. And we only sell non-China, non-GMO vitamin C. We then subject it to rigorous laboratory testing in our own food science lab, checking for heavy metals, glyphosate, as well as microbiological contamination. Only after it passes our tests do we encapsulate it and package it for our audience. You can find it at BrighteonStore.com. It's not the cheapest vitamin C on the market, but it is by far the most rigorously tested and honestly sourced vitamin C available anywhere in the world. Support your health and this free speech platform by shopping at BrighteonStore.com.
I feel that Juvent is helping me to get better every day in every way.
That impact is what has been shown to help improve your bone density. Without that impact, you're missing a very important nutrient in your physical conditioning program.
The Juvent Micro Impact System allows the person to create more joint range of motion. Now I know there's a chance that nourishment can take place to that joint.
Get one of these.
SAT123.com. They have put together a really incredible package: emergency backup communication systems, power systems. We've got sat phones, we've got solar panels, and also the big 400 watt solar panel behind us there. And why does this matter? Because, of course, right now we are dealing with massive risk of blackouts. And the power grid is just failing, you know, intermittently, but it's going to get worse because we've also got energy shortages. Think about the lack of coal power, the diesel problems that are happening right now. If you're in the military or the National Guard or Border Patrol or law enforcement and you need to be able to function even when the power grid goes down, or maybe you're a first responder, rescue team, firefighter, paramedic, you name it, you need to know about this equipment. So SAT123.com, folks.
Capital punishment shows the world the true story of January 6, 2021. The event was years in the making, and the threat to the survival of America as we know it has never been greater. Not only is this film a must-see, but it's already one of the most censored films of all time. Just visit HisGlory.tv today to get your copy. Capital Punishment, everything they told you was a lie.
Mike Adams here with an operator, a deployment leader on the Texas southern border who's been using these satellite-based bivvy sticks for very effective communications. And he's here just give us a few words about how these bivvy sticks are operating, how it's helping he and his team members. And remember, these are available through the satellite phone store, sat123.com. It's satellite-based text messaging. Works when no cell towers work or aren't reachable.
We use these to communicate GPS cords to when we are seeing drug runners or people carrying stuff. We've had, you know, bust up to 13,600 pounds worth of marijuana and fentanyl that we have been on operations with in conjunction with federal agents and supporting them in their operations.
So they are pro-America and pro-humanitarian in helping to keep our country and our community safe. Everybody, God bless America. Take care. There's going to be a whole lot of funding and a lot of surveillance of drug cartels as they operate in the state of Texas. And there's going to be a very rapid escalation of the ability to arrest these people, seize their assets, interrogate them, by the way, anybody who cooperates with the Mexican drug cartels, and to deploy additional Texas military assets against all this. In other words, this thing's about to go, shall we say, narco DEFCON 3, you know, as Kanye says, DEFCON 3. Or did he say 5? Narco DEFCON 5. It's South Texas is going to be a war zone. But it's a necessary step because you either surrendered to these terrorists or you fight them. So I understand they got to fight them. That's exactly the way this is going to go. Because I know some people, obviously, who are probably going to be in this war. And there's some tough dudes. But then again, the Mexican drug cartels are also some pretty hardcore dudes. So, and you've seen the armored up trucks and vehicles that the Mexican cartels have. You've seen photos of that. I mean, they have souped up like heavy, heavy suspensions of these big trucks, and then they Mad Max these vehicles out with armor and everything on the front and the sides. It's a full Mad Max operation. And they're going to roll these into Texas, and you're going to have just a full-scale war, man. You're going to need like military armor to engage some of these vehicles. So all you listening at Fort Hood, get ready. You're going to get some trigger practice pretty soon, looks like. Or at least whatever units are under the command of Governor Abbott and not the DOD. But we'll see. We'll see where that goes. But I will add this. If any of you listening, I don't think anybody qualifies on this, but if you are listening and you happen to be in some way involved in the narco trade in Texas, I would find yourself a different line of work real quick here. Or your life expectancy is about to go to zero. I would get out of Texas if you're involved in that trade. No, seriously. Whew. Yeah, it's going to come down hard. Okay, in addition to all that stuff, Abbott says he's going to enter into a compact with other states to secure the border, which would be great if Arizona had a governor named Carrie Lake, obviously, for that very purpose. But, you know, there are other states affected by this, including Florida, frankly, right? although obviously not, I mean, not the same border, but there are a lot of illegals that come into Florida, especially Cubans, right? So Abbott says he's also going to provide resources for border counties to increase their efforts to respond to the border invasion, which means going to be handing out like thermal night vision and things like that, and surveillance systems and drone monitoring, and you know, money for trapping human traffickers or whatever that looks like. So there you go. I'm all in favor of these designations because Texas is under attack. There is an invasion happening in Texas, and it's got to stop. It's got to stop. I mean, again, I'm not opposed to legal immigration at all. I welcome immigrants. You just have to go through the legal process. All right, fourth issue today, the missiles in Poland. So I was very concerned a few hours ago that this was going to escalate quickly into World War III and that this had been some kind of a false flag attempt to cause escalation. What happened is apparently some missiles or some kind of explosion happened in Poland, and the media initially reported that these were Russian missiles that struck Poland. Russia very quickly denied that, and then I received some tweets from some people who said that there were parts found at the site that indicated the missiles were actually fired by Ukraine. And then Joe Biden apparently came out and said that even he is saying that these were not missiles from Russia at this point. And Poland has not invoked Article 5. They've invoked Article 4, which is apparently something a lot less serious. You know, Article 5 is basically, hey, we're being attacked. NATO, come to our defense. Everybody in NATO, declare war against Russia. That's Article 5. But that was not what was invoked. Article 4 is more like, oh, there was a oopsie. Let's sit down and have a chat about it. That's Article 4. It's kind of like, we could still talk this thing out. You know, we haven't burned all the bridges yet. Or I guess in the case of Ukraine and Russia, that would be a literal reference since they are blowing up bridges. But nevertheless, this did not escalate into World War III, thank God. But the fact that a lot of people were concerned that it might, including myself, just shows you how much we're all on edge. And we're all very, very worried that there could be false flag types of attacks or nuclear terrorism or who knows what that could be blamed on Russia in order to try to start World War III. And you'll find in my interview with Ed Dowd, he talks about how war may still be invoked by the regime in order to try to distract people from the currency collapse that's coming. And also to try to do a lot more stimulus money printing and try to keep the system alive a little bit longer. So war is still in the works, and that's why we're all nervous about this. It could happen on any given day. Oh, let me interrupt myself. I'm going to use this opportunity to mention some specials by some of our sponsors. These are good just through the end of this month that have to do with survival, you know, and the possibility of world war and so on. But by the way, thank all of you. Thank you for supporting us at the Health Ranger store through the early Black Friday event that is now concluded. And very much appreciate your support. All your products are shipping out. You know, many, many thousands of orders are shipping out this week. And you'll be receiving your tracking numbers via email. So thank you for your support. Now, some of our advertising partners, hoplitearmor.com, H-O-P-L-I-T-E, hoplitearmor.com. They make body armor, made in America, polyethylene, advanced, well, it's more than polyethylene. What is it? High molecular weight polyethylene. 15% off everything they have through the end of this month by using discount code HealthRanger. Just all one word, by the way, no space. HealthRanger. 15% off. Dawson Knives also has 15% off through the end of this month with the same discount code, HealthRanger. That's DawsonKnives.com, D-A-W-S-O-N, just like it sounds. Now, ShieldArms.com has a bunch of Black Friday specials. It's a lot of stuff. In fact, I was trying to do some shopping on there earlier, and I ran out of time, but they've got great sales, not only on their firearms. You know, they have the folding AR-15 rifles and pistols, but they have belts and magazines and slings and all kinds of things, and with really, really deep discounts. So just go to shieldarms.com and check out their sales items. And by the way, if you do buy a rifle or a pistol that is a folding AR-15 pistol from them, I believe you save, I think it's $100 off if you use discount code HealthRanger. I think that's what that is. But I don't think that discount applies to the other sales items, just to be clear. And then finally, if you're looking for heirloom seeds, check out hhseeds.com. And that's Heaven's Harvest. That's their seed company. And if you use discount code Ranger, then you get free shipping. And they may have other kind of Black Friday specials coming up. I'm not aware of those yet, but hhseeds.com gets you those heirloom seeds, which, of course, are going to be real valuable in the spring when the food shortages really kick in. All right. Oh, I should mention, you know, Dawson Knives has machetes and swords and all kinds of things, too, like hunting knives, survival knives, fishing knives, all kinds of utility knives. And they're working on a super secret project that I don't know if I can. Yeah, they probably won't mind. It's a battle tomahawk that they're working on, man. It looks so great. We'll talk about that when it's publicly available. Right now, I just have pictures of prototypes, but it's already pretty exciting. Yeah, made in America, Magna Cut alloy tomahawks that are corrosion resistant, but stronger than most like samurai swords in terms of their resilience and bendability, and they spring back. It's just, and they hold an edge, just unbelievable. Like high tech meets ancient war weaponry. You know what I mean? It's pretty wild stuff. Nice thing about tomahawks is they never run out of ammo. you just pick it up and use it again. Then again, if we're suffering a collapse that's so bad that we're fighting with tomahawks, things have gone pretty wrong. You know, if you're in a tomahawk battle scenario, a lot of bad decisions have been made by the powers that be in order to get us there. That's for sure. And sadly, the tomahawks will not penetrate the armored up Mexican narco armored trucks that will be invading Texas soon. So you might want to have your 50 cal Barretts handy, you know, just in case, which thankfully a whole lot of Texans also own those too. Yeah, aim for the viewports. That's right, of the narco armored vehicles. Aim for the viewports. No kidding. Last time I shot a 50 caliber rifle, I thought somebody threw a grenade in my face. The explosion is so, I mean, there is a thump factor on that, and it is no joke. It's like 620 grains of high velocity steel going down range, man. Woo. Do not be standing in the path of that. Okay. Let's move on to number five, the crypto contagion. We've got news on that. All right, the FTX collapse is, of course, spreading. There's a lot of cross-contamination of debt and unsecured debt in the crypto space. And these exchanges are seeing record withdrawals, which actually is a smart indicator of crypto owners moving their money out of these exchanges, moving to, you know, offline wallets or what's called cold storage, just keeping your keys on your own hardware, basically. So BlockFi is about to declare bankruptcy, according to the Wall Street Journal. Now, I've seen tweets and such that say BlockFi is declaring bankruptcy or has already done so, but I have not yet seen any kind of a mainstream media article that has yet confirmed that. So let's put that in the rumor category, but the Wall Street Journal does say they are preparing to, okay? They are preparing for, quote, potential bankruptcy as the crypto contagion spreads. Now, BlockFi, my understanding is they had already halted all withdrawals. And this has also spread now to another exchange called Liquid, which is very popular in Japan, apparently. I was not familiar with Liquid, but then again, I don't live in Tokyo. But Liquid has halted all withdrawals as well. And it seems very likely that this is going to spread to a lot of other exchanges. So what does this mean if you had money on those exchanges? It means basically, and it's gone. That's what it means. You might be lucky to get 5 cents back on the dollar, but it'll be a lot less when you consider how much lower a lot of crypto valuations are going to go as the exchanges go out of business. So I don't know what you're going to get back. Just figure it's zero, frankly. And that's one of those really expensive life lessons. If you had money on one of these exchanges and you just lost it because they just did basically a crypto bail-in, let that be a lesson about what's coming for the dollars and the banks, because there's going to be a bank bail-in one day, and everybody that has dollars in a bank account is going to suffer the same exact fate. They're going to say, whoa, what happened? The bank just announced we can't withdraw our money. but it's our money. And the bank says, well, technically, the minute you deposited it, you became an unsecured creditor to the bank. You see how that works? You don't own it anymore when you deposit it in a bank. Did you know that? You don't own it. They just have a liability of what they owe you, but it's their money, technically. So they can do whatever they want with it, and they can prevent you from taking it out. It's true. Bail-ins are coming. Bank holidays are coming. So crypto is having a big fire sale clean-out operation. It's like spring cleaning comes early for crypto. And in a sense, this is good news because there's a lot of the fraudsters and the con artists and so on, and the Sam Bankmans are going to get all cleaned out of this gutter. And then whoever's left is going to be more heavily regulated and probably more frequently audited, and there'll have to be more proof of assets and more transparency and open source, you know, information about transactions and assets and so on. But, you know, folks, you can avoid all of this by not holding your crypto in the exchanges in the first place. Which, if you think about it, the whole point of crypto was for you to control your own money in a peer-to-peer decentralized fashion without relying on any kind of centralized control system, such as exchanges or banks or what have you. Like, why would you want to have to trust them when you could control your own crypto in your own wallet? And that's the way that the wiser crypto users have been doing this for a long time. They control their own keys. They control their own crypto. So even if you're going to use exchanges as on-ramps or off-ramps or to carry out, you know, currency exchanges or crypto exchanges, like, oh, I want to trade, you know, ETH for Bitcoin or whatever. Yeah, you can use them for that. And the minute you're done, pull that back off of there. Don't leave your crypto on the exchanges. And if you have crypto there right now, pull it off. Get it off of the exchanges. And everybody's doing that, which, by the way, is going to, we're going to see more bankruptcies of these exchanges because a lot of them are over leveraged and they were dipping into the customer funds, even though they promised not to. Like, we'll never take your money. Wink, wink. And then they do. And then the tide goes out and they get caught swimming naked. That's exactly what's going on here. Whoa. We didn't need to see that. And where'd my money go? All right, speaking of money, let's take a quick look at some economic news. Heinz, you know, the ketchup company, that's basically what they're known for. Heinz, their tomato ketchup has gone up 53%? Holy smokes, it is. It's 53%. the UK Daily Mail reporting that shoppers are switching to the supermarket's own label as cost of living crisis bites. Let's see. Heinz ketchup was up 53%. Dolmio lasagna sauce was up 47% on average. In one place, it was up 100%. 107%, excuse me. Let's see. Millions of shoppers are switching over to the supermarket brand, which is not always as good. Let's see what else we have here. Anchor spreadable butter tub is up 45%. Now, remember, by the way, the Biden regime says that inflation is only 8% or something. Here we go. Heinz cream of tomato soup, it's up 44%. Coleman's horseradish sauce is 44% increase also. What is this? Cravendale semi-skimmed milk, 38% increase. Hellman's real squeezy mayonnaise is up 35%. And what is this? Muller Corner vanilla and banana chocolate balls and flakes is up 34%. These must be like British groceries or something. I've not heard of a lot of these things. I wonder if like Vegemite is up, you know, in Australia too. All right. Also now let's see. Travelers are complaining of airline price gouging. That's also in the UK Daily Mail. New York City to LA around Christmas time is now $1,000. And then in Poland, the Polish Central Bank is forecasting double-digit inflation to persist throughout the entire year of 2023, all the way into 2024. And that's if more missiles don't strike Poland. And then in addition to that, a rail strike threat escalates as third union rejects deal. This is on Fox Business, which has one of these annoying autoplay when the videos start playing when you don't want them to. Don't you hate that? The International Brotherhood of Boilermakers announced Monday that its members voted against ratifying a tentative agreement with the major freight railroads. So this is the third labor group to turn down the deal that was brokered by the Biden administration. Turns out that all 12 of the unions have to ratify this new contract or railroads grind to a halt. It's not clear to me, by the way, when the railroads grind to a halt, but clearly they are not reaching an agreement. So I guess every day that the trains run is a better day. They looks like they're not going to be running much longer, at least for some period of time. Or we'll see who bends first on this deal. But the thing I love about reporting on these railroads is the names of the unions. They're so entertaining. Like one of these that's also voted against this is literally called the Brotherhood of Maintenance of Way Employees Division of the International Brotherhood of Teamsters. Like, wow. How do you have name tags at your meetings with all that printed on there? Is it an entire apron? How do you fit all that on there? How do you have like baseball caps with the name of your unions on there? That's a lot of text. They must have bumper stickers that cover the entire rear end of the trunk of the vehicle. It's like, what is that? It's like a bumper banner. It's the whole bumper. Now, this is the way unions work, don't you know? Why do something in a short manner when it can be stretched out and made way longer? I'm kidding. Okay, I'm kidding you union guys out there. We appreciate you. Don't get me wrong. We need boilers and sheet metal and all that stuff. I mean, we absolutely do. I'm not mocking you. I'm making fun of the length of your union names. That's all. No, I'm in with you on this. You deserve more money, and no doubt. I mean, you deserve time off for medical needs. You know, you deserve wage increases. Absolutely. I completely agree with that, by the way. It's only a 24% wage increase over a five-year period from 2020 through 2024. Man, that's nothing. I mean, we're looking at 20-plus% inflation every year.
Take a stand against biased talk radio.